The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey, it's Mark Schler with the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. The NFL season is in full swing, and I'll be here to break down all the action like no one else can. Follow and listen to the Stinkin' Truth Podcast on your free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, the thing is with George Pickens is you can't replace the talent. And, you know, I ask as a legitimate question, Brian Batko of the Post-Gazette, how harmful are the antics, you know, in this case, pretty harmful to the pursuit of winning because he got two unsportsmanlike conduct penalties. Like you said, or intimated at least, I've seen worse that that hasn't been called on both of those. But he's George. I mean, you can't take your eyes off the guy. The whole league is watching him because of his spectacular talent and his antics. He just can't leave the post-play situations alone. I still don't know what happened in Cleveland. If what happened is what I think did, then it was an unbelievably selfish play. I think he got tangled up with Newsom and then got pissed and rode the guy out of the end zone rather than trying to fulfill his duty of trying to get the high point on a Hail Mary and win the game. He paid no attention to that.
Yeah, and some people saw it as by the time Newsom was done interfering with him or whatever, he couldn't do much, so he decided to fight him. I didn't see it that way. I thought it was more of a situation where, why aren't you trying to fight back to the ball and put the petty beefs aside and try to help your team win a game, as unlikely as it may be in that circumstance. I think it's interesting because there's so many different avenues of it, and I think sometimes it's unfair to reduce it all to one big thing. Is he a problem or is he not a problem? I mean, there are problematic aspects of it that you wonder, are they going to get worse if he gets paid? Is he going to be more look at me and diva wide receiver? Or would giving him a big time contract extension, that coveted second contract for any player in the NFL, content him to some extent?
I mean, Ryan Clark will tell you that AB's problems started with the money. Did Deontay's problems start with the money? It sure seems that way.
I would say so. And then, you know, you asked me before the break there, Joe, would you pay him? You almost have to make that decision right away after the season, because I think he would hold in. Why would he not hold in? He saw a teammate before him at the same position a couple years ago who's not as accomplished statistically, and I just think anecdotally not as good, pull that maneuver, and it worked for him. So I think you'd have to either get
Who are you talking about there?
Deontay Johnson.
Yeah, Deontay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he sort of held the Steelers hostage that year in camp. So
I'm tempted. He's just so talented, though. That's the thing.
I know. I think the options in that case would be either give him the new deal, or do you look to trade him?
And not just talented, but productive. It's not like we're talking about a guy like, man, if he ever fulfills his potential, although there's still a little bit of that. It's this guy already helps them win games with what he does. So for me, it's a net positive. Let's go to the phone lines, Wonder Twin.
Here's Greg in Monroeville.
Hey, Greg.
Hi, guys. Hey, regarding Pickens, you know, I think when he gets any sort of penalties, I'd say let's look at how severe they are. The ones the other day that caused us to be, out of the range for a good field goal or out of the range for a good play, they're definitely more serious than something that he might do that's a five-yard penalty. So the more serious his antics, I think the more his the glass on him, the microscope on him is going to get bigger and bigger and harder. And that's the same with Porter. You know, with Porter gives up just a little holding call at the line of scrimmage, big deal. That's not affecting us. But if they continue to give penalties that give the other team first down and an extra 15 yards, that's what it
hurts. Yeah, the bigger the issue, the player. For sure. The bigger the issue on the field, the more it affects the team, obviously. Have you ever heard Todd, a caller to the PM team, what he suggested the leadership core should do with Pickens, Brian?
I think I've heard it.
But... yeah. Would you like to hear it again?
Sure.
I think it's the most sound, reasonable, and easily implementable advice that's out there. Brian?
My uncle Mark texted me during the game and said, just go to George afterward, and the first question just be, why, George? Why?
That's pretty much what Todd said.
I know. Yeah. I mean, there were a lot of guys talking to him throughout that game. Broderick Jones.
That's the first sign of trouble.
I know. If he's your guy calming you down,
yes,
that's pretty interesting. And this is not a one-game thing. He's been doing that going back to week one in Atlanta. I noticed it when George was getting a bit frustrated on the sidelines, and in Indy, too, when he had the fumble. So... I think Cam Hayward, somebody said, was talking to him at one point. Russell Wilson obviously told us after the game that he was trying to keep him engaged throughout. It is kind of just a constant, I don't want to know about headache, but at least distraction. If you're channeling any of your energy into trying to soothe number 14.
Right after the pick six, Tomlin practically had a 15-minute meeting with him. He's like hugging him and come on.
Yeah,
it's professional sports here. So what?
It gets old.
The other team got a pick six. It gets old. Back and play.
And we have in our last caller there, Greg mentioned, you know, the penalties are starting to add up and they're actually hurting the product on the field. We haven't even gotten into the half-hearted route running, which he was apparently penalized for earlier this year with all the snap management, load management. And you could argue, okay, they addressed that in whatever they did behind the scenes that Mike Tomlin didn't want to mention today to feed the beast. And he's not doing that anymore. He's playing 90% of the snaps. There was the non-blocking last year in the Colts game, which was clearly an issue that he probably had to answer for in front of the team in some capacity. So it hasn't just been the mindless stuff either. There's also the issues with, are you actively taking yourself out of the game because you're worrying about the wrong things? You're not keeping winning the main thing. That's a lot of ingredients that you've got to weigh this offseason if you're Omar Khan, Mike Tomlin and company.
Yeah, I mean, he's a young guy. I often think of myself at some of these athletes' ages, and you know, I get it, but I didn't have, you know, 51 guys in a whole city, nation depending on me to perform in an athletic contest, and it's just like, I mean, do we really need to? Okay, so Pickens got penalized probably on the pick six, got pushed to the turf. They got a touchdown. The game just started. We need to pull him aside for like a private meeting after that. I mean, just go out and play, really. Just go out and play. And then don't do anything catch that could be construed as unsportsmanlike. And it's really pretty simple. Like, let's not make it out to be like there's this 100-item list where it could go either way. Don't pretend to shoot a gun. Don't do the throat slash. Not that he's ever done that, at least that I've seen. Don't stand over a guy and stare down at him, and don't throw the ball on him or even drop the ball on him. That would be a good starter kit. How about don't do those four things?
Also, punting the ball into the stands didn't get a flag, but his wallet's going to be a little bit lighter from that one. So, yeah, it is just – it's always something – with him, it's like playing whack-a-mole. Okay, he didn't freak out on any coaches or players on the sideline, but this time he did it to the opposing team and we lost yardage because of it.
I'll say this much. Whack-a-mole is a great analogy because it's the thing you'd least expect. Wait, George, the eye black under George's eyes says what? Wait, he got railroaded out of bounds on a Hail Mary and got in a fight practically in the stands. You know, wait, he dropped a ball on somebody. Wait, he didn't block that time. Wait, he's not running routes. I mean, it could be any one of a thousand things.
I think we're due for a social media snafu.
Scrubbing.
I think City Limits will be calling Bingo if he gets that tonight around 8 or 8:30 or something. He has Pickens Bingo.
Who else we got?
Here is Gary in Washington. Your time, I appreciate it. Hey, quickly, the Steelers, of course they have a fighting chance this year. With Russ there, it's a legitimate option, and certainly to make the playoffs and to proceed in the playoffs and even give it a little shot at the Super Bowl. You mentioned all the three quarterbacks they have to go through, but is it necessarily that it's going to be all three? Could the scenario be that some of them play each other and eliminate one or two of them before the Steelers have to play them?
Let me package that and present it to the one and only Brian Batko of the Post-Gazette. Thank you for the call. We had a topic earlier on how the national media, Brian, I think, especially like yesterday and after the game the other day, has suddenly switched on the Steelers and talking about them as a legit Super Bowl team. They could get there. What would keep them from doing that? And my take was, while I do believe for the first time in years they do have a legitimate chance, the sheer odds of getting past, let's say, Lamar in round one, Josh Allen in round two, and Patrick Mahomes in round three, to me, are just too steep. It's almost an impossible challenge, I think. And that guy just asks, could they avoid some of those guys? Of course. But then there's still Justin Herbert, CJ Stroud, people like that.
We always have a fighting chance if George Pickens is lined up against a cornerback who says or does something to him he doesn't like.
Right.
He probably will get a fight in that case. But yeah, to his point, I'm kind of with you, Joe. I've been moving, inching closer with each stellar performance by the Steelers, and particularly Russ, with putting them to that top tier of NFL teams or even just AFC teams. Maybe I need to see it against the Chiefs on that Christmas Day game because they've been the big bad on the block and they've been a thorn in the Steelers' side, unlike the Ravens. They kind of only have one of those boxes checked, albeit without the postseason success. Yeah, it is a gauntlet to go through. And I kind of go into every season thinking, how many quarterbacks can realistically lead their team to the Lombardi Trophy? I certainly didn't have Russ in that bucket in early September or October or November. But as we flip the calendar to December here, it's harder and harder to poke holes in it. So I get the optimism. I do. But it is difficult to run through that many teams on this side of things where you could argue, I think, the two best complete teams and rosters in football right now are over in the NFC in Detroit and Philly. But the AFC still has all those guys that you just mentioned, Joe.
What about the Buffalo Bills, Dr. Batko?
I said you could argue, which I guess you would argue for them. But what Philly and Detroit are doing to teams is pretty impressive week in and week out here.
It is.
But they don't have Josh Allen.
All right.
Or Patrick Mahomes.